Had Brett Hundley been healthy during the preseason, Joe Callahan wouldn't have made this team. But Hundley's ankle was an issue, and that gave Callahan extra chances.
I think that was huge. I got a ton of snaps, with Brett going down, and then Aaron not playing too much in the preseason. I think that was one of the biggest things for me to make the team.
Callahan said he got nervous when the phone rang Saturday morning and he saw the call was coming from the Packers. But Callahan soon got the good news.
Yeah, he kind of caught me off guard. He started off the phone call like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And then it's like, "I just want to let you know, congrats, you made the 53. And then from then on, I don't really remember what I said. But, I got the news I was hoping for.
I'm Bill Scott. I'll have more from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, BS. It is 14 minutes until 10 o'clock on a hump day Wednesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is the Libertarian candidate for the U.S. Senate here in the great state of Wisconsin. Please welcome to the community conversation, Mr. Phil Anderson. Good morning, Senator, if I can say that.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
How's that sound, Senator?
Sounds beautiful. Just beautiful.
What is the highest-ranking elected position that you have ever held?
None. I ran for state assembly in 2014. Was defeated in Dane County, of course. It's the People's Republic of Dane County, running against a Democrat, but I got 18.8%, and so now I'm running for U.S. Senate.
Never ran for student council or anything?
No. Never did.
Class president?
No, I mean, I'm the vice chair of the state Libertarian Party, which required a speech and an election, but in terms of general politics, no.
Why are you doing this?
Well, I think it's important that people have an option, that they could choose something other than Democrat, Republican, which have gotten us nothing but war and bigger government, more expensive government, more invasion into our privacy, et cetera, for the last, 60 years or so. It's time for something different, and we're certainly not presented that choice by Democrats and Republicans. And Libertarians are really the only party, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, that's why I'm a big part of it, that stand for people having individual rights and individual responsibilities and not just giving over authority and power to the government.
Well, I was honored to meet you at the recent Libertarian gathering at Serb Hall in Milwaukee at the Gary Johnson rally. I have to say, you do look the part. You could absolutely be a senator.
You mean I'm an old-looking white guy?
Yeah, exactly. An old, pleasant-looking Wisconsin white guy.
There you go. That fits the part so far, But thank you, I guess. I think that's a compliment.
Fantastic turnout. The Libertarian message is getting out there. I mean, initially in the press availability, Governor Gary Johnson was asked by the Wisconsin media if it was a mistake having his rally the night of a Packers game. And in true Gary Johnson fashion, he said it was absolutely a bonehead move.
it was put together relatively quickly. They just decided the week before to make that Wisconsin deserved to be a target state based on polling numbers and based on how Trump and Hillary Clinton did here. So once that happened, we wanted to get them in state as quickly as possible. So that was pretty much the only date that worked within the next few days after they made that decision.
Well, they could not have held any more people at Serb Hall. They were lined up in the hallway there.
The official attendance from the venue, 1,256.
Wow.
In a room that was only supposed to hold 880, and then there were overflow people in the hallway, people in the bowling alley. Very impressive.
Yeah, I sauntered over to the bowling alley to get some refreshment. Mm-hmm. And much to my surprise, they were piping Governor Johnson's speech into the bowling alley, and they had the Cubs game on the TV.
Fantastic.
So it was perfect. And so I saddled up to the bar, and there was a nice-looking young man there, and I got to meet your son, Sam.
Yep.
Who's a tremendous Cubs fan.
He is. He's dedicated, that's for sure.
We had such a great talk, and then I got to meet Holly Liebeck, who's the wife of congressional candidate Jason Liebeck. We just had the most fantastic time. And then the rally ended, and here came the after-party partiers. That was fun. What is it about libertarians, regardless of their backgrounds? I mean, just the picture, if you guys want to see the after-party party picture on my Facebook, go to it. But you will notice that there is a wide array of beautiful humans pictured in that. But regardless of where people are from or what their dress is, their race, there's a mindset of libertarians that is really starting to take hold. What is it about libertarians that have such a common thinking process?
Well, the basic bedrock principle of libertarianism, as you know, is the non-aggression principle. It basically says that we should be allowed to live our lives as we choose, as long as we don't impose on the rights of others to do the same. So while that's our political philosophy, it's also a way of living your life, too. You know, it's the way that we were taught as when we were little to not hit other people and not take their stuff and respect other people's privacy and pick up after ourselves and, you know, all those things that we were taught in kindergarten or by our parents or, you know. So in that sense, our political philosophy lends itself to very positive, healthy personal interactions as well, because we respect each other's opinions. There's diversity. There's respect of privacy and space. It makes for a really cool environment.
And libertarians across the board, I've noticed, pretty much have great senses of humor.
Well, yeah, I'd say we kind of have to, you know, since we're in such a small minority. But no, I think it's the same thing. You know, libertarians tend to be people who have not accepted the status quo, that have looked for something beyond the Democrat and Republican options that we've been given, and they tend to have inquisitive minds, and that sort of curiosity, I think, lends itself to having a good sense of humor.
He is Libertarian senatorial candidate Phil Anderson. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation for a Wednesday morning. Why do the Libertarians, where the Republicans have the elephant, the Democrats have the donkey as their mascots, why do Libertarians have a porcupine?
Well, a porcupine is a peaceful animal. You know, you don't really see them. They don't make their presence known all that much. They stay out of your way and they stay out of your business until you try to disturb them. Then they will aim their quills at you and shake and possibly injure you. So they're very peaceful, yet they're perfectly willing to defend themselves.
Pretty
I think
well,
that fits their philosophy really well.
Pretty well defines libertarian perspective on military intervention, doesn't it?
Precisely, yeah, and personal defense as well. I think our position on foreign policy and foreign interventions and our position on the Second Amendment coincide beautifully because, you know, not only do individuals have the right to defend themselves and their property and their family and their privacy, but so does our nation. That's how we delegate that authority to our government, and they're basically coincident rights.
The Libertarian presidential nominee Gary Johnson was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace a couple of weeks ago. And just recently, Wallace was announced that he will be the moderator of the third presidential debate, which hopefully Governor Johnson will be in. But there's a clip going around on social media now where right at the end of the interview, Governor Johnson really got fired up about the military. He is now being supported by a majority of active military personnel, more than Trump, more than Hillary. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think people in the military don't like to be politicized. You know, they have a very, very important role, and they're offering everything. I mean, it's a huge sacrifice that they're offering. And if politicians or our government take that sacrifice, that offering, seriously, then it's not used as a political football, and it's not used to forward any, you know, non-essential goals in the world. So when soldiers get sent to places that they know aren't really critical to our national defense, and they know that that the story that we're being fed back home isn't the one that they're seeing on the ground in, you know, Afghanistan or Iraq or you know, wherever, then I think they resent that, and rightfully so, because they're making a much bigger offering than those of us at home are. And they know that when they listen to Gary Johnson and listen to other libertarians, that that's a person and this is a party that takes their sacrifice seriously and wants to keep it constitutional and only for our defense and have respect for that and not use it politically or to just, you know, prop up the dollar in some economy somewhere, you know, not frivolously in that sense. And they respect that.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. He's Phil Anderson. He's running for the U.S. Senate against sitting Senator Ron Johnson, former Senator Russ Feingold. On the surface, Feingold and Johnson seem about as opposite as they could possibly be politically. How accurate is that?
I would say that on the things that matter, it's not as accurate. I mean, they differ on certain things, but really it's just a matter of degree, because they both are for more warfare overseas, more foreign interventions, regime change, etc. Neither of them have come out against drone strikes, which I would think that, you know, based on the way Senator Feingold has run previously, that he would be against. But because he's so tied to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, he wouldn't dare do that. So on the big issues like warfare and also, to a certain extent, the economy, the federal government keeps growing and growing and growing. And while both of those guys will pick around the edges a little bit here and there, basically they're in favor of the nanny state, the welfare state, for things to keep going as they are on its unsustainable course. And we're approaching a national debt of $20 trillion, which, of course, is unsustainable. And, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security being insolvent at some point. And they're really neither one of them proposing realistic solutions to those. So in essence, they're both for big government and continued warfare overseas. So really you're getting two sides of the same coin, and that coin is bigger government, less privacy, less prosperity, more power for corporations and special interest groups.
If you were able to wave your magic libertarian wand, what would be the top three things that you would do as senator?
Well, the first three things would be, number one, I'd want to stop our international meddling, and with the understanding that we can't just simply automatically unilaterally withdraw from all of our commitments overseas, but we need to scale back and move, you know, not have boots on the ground in Syria, no more drone strikes, stop doing the things that we can stop doing immediately while responsibly withdrawing from those things overseas. And I don't mean just the Middle East, but, you know, the bases that we own in, you know, the 800-900 bases that we own in 100 and some odd countries all over the world, too, are resented and are unnecessary in most cases. So that's number one. Number two and three are together. I'd advocate for two bills that were introduced on the House floor this last session and didn't get much traction. One is the Read the Bills Act, which would require, just as it sounds, for people that are voting on bills to actually read them first.
Hold on, Phil. Hold on for a second.
Yeah.
You are literally advocating that our lawmakers actually read the bills that they pass?
I know, it's shocking, but they don't. And there have been a few people protesting against that. Rand Paul has and Justin Amash has, but generally speaking, bills get passed without being read all the time, every day.
Nancy Pelosi told us with Obamacare we would know what was in it after it was passed.
Right. And the other thing that goes along with that is an act called the One Subject at a Time Act, which would not allow for bills to be just lumped together in a huge mass so that, you know, for example, the omnibus bill last December where there were, you know, there was language in there to help continue funding the government, but also to continue funding Planned Parenthood and to, you know, raise our debt up to, you know, by $1.5 trillion, according to the CBO, to continue NSA spying. All these things get lumped together, and so each bill doesn't get voted on, and there's not a record of each person voting on it, how they voted. So that's not really, in both cases, the Read the Bills Act and the One Subject at a Time Act. We don't really have representative government right now, just because of the messed up way that our House and Senate do their business, and those need to be straightened out. I think at that point, when people can actually get a chance to read legislation before the representatives vote on it and know exactly who they voted for and how they voted on bills, then there'll be a lot more accountability and a lot better things and fewer things getting done by our federal government than are now.
Well, as a candidate for the presidency, Barack Obama promised the most transparent administration in history, promising that all the hearings in the Congress would be televised on C-SPAN and that every bill that would be being voted on would be online for people to look at for 72 hours. How'd that work out?
It has not happened, obviously. It has not happened. And he can say that all he wants, but that's something that Congress has to do. I mean, the president can't impose rules on the House and the Senate. They have to be willing to do that. And because there's so much lobbying that ends up being in bills that ends up being passed in this way, and none of the Democrats or Republicans, or very few I should say, want to pass this legislation because it's the means by which their lobbyists and their big industries and their big union backers make money, by sneaking this stuff through, because there's no transparency. If it were able to be viewed and watched and monitored by the people, then all this junk wouldn't get passed that then ends up profiting corporations that make big donations, labor unions, whoever. That's the means by which that all that corruption is happening, and that's the way to stop it, is by pulling the covers off it so we can all see it.
He's Phil Anderson. He's running for Senate here in Wisconsin under the Libertarian Porcupine banner. He's also the father of one of the great self-described baseball nerds of all time, Sam Anderson. Did Sam watch the game last night?
I believe he did. I was at a work meeting late, so I didn't get a chance to watch it much. I followed it on my phone. But if he watched it, I mean, he's a pretty dedicated fan, but I imagine after the score got to be 9, 10, 12 for the Brewers, he probably turned it off and hopefully got some homework done.
That's good. Getting some homework done is always a good thing.
Yep.
Well, he's doing his homework as he runs for Senate, and good luck on the campaign trail and safe travels, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Glenn. Thank you.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
And on this hump day morning, the community conversation continues on the other side of WRJN, covering the world at 10:01.
Trump wants bump. No Applejack. I'm Christopher Cruz. Donald Trump will propose a major increase in defense spending during a speech planned for this hour in Philadelphia.